following is a message at Living Savior Church in Asheville and Hendersonville, North Carolina. To learn more, go to lsavior.org.
I know it might sound a bit morbid, maybe a little silly, but when Emily and I were about to have our baby Hayden, we were told to strongly consider making a will. But I had no idea why. First of all, I don't have a lot of stuff. Second of all, I'm only 25 years old. When I think of someone who has a will, I think of someone who is about to go meet their Savior in heaven and needs to make sure that their entire estate is straightened out. But that is the exact reason on why I need to make one. I need to make sure that the keys to Peter Christie's kingdom are successfully passed from me to someone else. Now, I don't have a will, but pretend I do, and pretend that this is what my will says. Peter Christie's estate will go to, and then it just stops there. Would you consider that a smooth transition of ownership? No, not at all. Instead of leaving someone with my estate, I'd be leaving this world with a whole lot of confusion. Jesus is about to die. Shortly after, he's going to ascend into heaven. He's not going to be on this earth for much longer. This wasn't a good time for Jesus to be confusing. But it was the perfect time for him to give his disciples his will. His will, a lasting testament, which is himself. It's his supper. This Holy Thursday, Jesus prepares a saving meal. It's prepared meticulously and it's served generously. Jesus tells his disciples, Peter and John, to help him prepare something that he's been planning for some time. He tells them to enter the city of Jerusalem and look for a man who's carrying a jug of water. Follow this man to whichever house he enters into. Find the homeowner of that house and say to him, the teacher says, where is my guest room? He will show you a large, fully furnished room upstairs. So make your preparations there. Jesus knows that there is a random man in the entire city of Jerusalem that's carrying a jug of water. Jesus knows that this man is going to enter the house of one of his followers. Jesus knows that there is a large, fully furnished room upstairs because he's been planning this for a while. And with his divine knowledge, Jesus knows that this will all work out perfectly. Peter and John are preparing the Passover meal. And there are a couple moving parts to this meal. You couldn't simply order food online and go pick it up from Ingles. No, they had to go find a lamb. A one-year-old lamb, to be exact, without any sort of blemish. They're supposed to take this lamb and bring it to the temple. And there at the temple, the priests are going to sacrifice it. And then they're going to bring that lamb back and cook it. And they also needed to make sure that they had enough bread. They needed to make unleavened bread, bread made without yeast. And God's people were to eat this meal together. It was a meal of unity. God instructed his Israelites to sacrifice a lamb when they were enslaved in Egypt. Take this lamb and dip a stalk of hyssop in some blood and spread it over the doorpost so that the angel of death will pass over. And by the blood of the lamb, they were saved. The plans for this evening were all deliberate. Jesus meticulously planned out this evening so that he could celebrate with his disciples. Jesus, the Passover lamb, who was foretold in the Old Testament, was going to be giving his disciples his will, himself. The Passover lamb, which was the greatest symbol of God's mercy and grace, was going to be given in a new covenant, and it was going to be given freely. Freely to them. Freely to you. And that's a big deal. But it wasn't just Jesus who made plans that evening. There was another person who was sitting around that table who was going to deliberately betray Jesus. Judas was sitting at that table knowing that within a couple of hours he was going to betray his teacher. But Jesus also knew what his disciples were going to do that night. He knew that they would all desert him, or they would pretend that they never knew him. But despite Jesus sitting at a table of sinners, he still gives himself to them. And he still gives himself to you. Jesus meticulously planned that evening so that he could give them a new meal. A meal that was served generously. And it was perfectly executed. While they were sitting around the table eating and drinking and talking amongst themselves, Jesus reaches for the bread bowl. He takes a loaf of bread and he blesses it. He carefully takes off a piece of bread and hands it to the disciples who are sitting next to him. And he says, take it. Take and eat. Jesus wanted his disciples to partake in what he was giving them. And he continued, this is my body. There wasn't any sort of meta message or hidden agenda behind these words. No, Jesus says it as it is. It's my body. And after the loaf of bread had made its way around the table, Jesus then reaches for the cup of wine that's resting on the table. Again, he lifts it up and he blesses it and he takes a sip and passes it to the disciple sitting next to him. Take and drink. Again, notice the word take. It's a command. Jesus wants his disciples to do this. This is my blood. And he continues, this is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for the many. This covenant was one-sided. It's God for you. Through the body and blood of Jesus given to the disciples, all of their sins were forgiven. It's that simple. And Jesus made sure it was simple. Remember, he wasn't going to be on earth for that much longer. So he needed to show that through this supper, through the bread and the wine, with God's word present, all of your sins are forgiven. But it isn't always that straightforward, is it? We've maybe taken the Lord's Supper a dozen or maybe 100 or 1,000 times. We've maybe taken the Lord's Supper a dozen or hundreds or thousands of times. But you can't tell me that you've never, ever had any sort of questions or concerns when you're taking it. You can't tell me that you've never taken it for granted. So just think about these three things. Number one, Jesus says, take and eat. Take and drink. Jesus is telling you to do this. It's a command. And the church makes sure that we have the Lord's Supper every 2 weeks. This is to make sure that people have ample opportunity to take it. But do we always realize the power that's behind it? Or is it just kind of, do we just kind of go through the steps? We get up and we go up to the front and we just take it and then we go and sit back down. Is that the best attitude we should have for our Lord's free forgiveness? Number two, this is my body. This is my blood. In a little while, you are going to come forward and you're going to be holding a wafer and a little cup of wine in your hands. And anyone with two eyes can look at these things and know that they are not holding a piece of a body or a little cup of blood. Do Jesus' words cause more doubt than comfort? Number three. Jesus finally says what this is all for. This is all for the forgiveness of sins. This is for the forgiveness of your sins that you have recently committed or the sins that burden your conscience. But man, I really messed up this week. And my life recently has been full of these big mess-ups. Does your conscience ever burden you to the point where you think that you can't or you shouldn't take his supper? It's pretty easy to see how we can devalue Jesus' simple words. But this evening, look forward. Behind me on the altar. That's Jesus' forgiveness for you. Jesus says, take and eat, take and drink. Jesus doesn't explicitly state it, but Jesus implies that you take this as often as you can. Jesus makes it simple for us. He uses two common earthly items, bread and wine, something that's easily found, something that can be easily prepared, and something that can be easily taken. Jesus says, this is my body. This is my blood. And Jesus means every single word he says there. Jesus could have made the disciples rich with just the loaves of bread in front of them. He could have turned those loaves of bread into bars of gold and had them be set for life. But at that evening, Jesus wanted them to be rich with him. This is my body. This is my blood. Jesus, the Passover lamb, would give up his body and shed his blood the very next day on the cross for the one sitting around the table, for you. And this is all for the forgiveness of your sins. No matter how rotten you think you are, no matter how much guilt or shame or regret you carry around with you, Jesus' supper forgives that. Just look at the ones who were sitting around that table that evening. Every single person that evening would sin against him. But he still gives it to them anyways. And he gives it to you too, so that your consciences can be wiped clean. This evening, as you come forward, I know that you already do this, but this evening when you come forward, I invite you to deeply think about what you are holding in your hands. You are holding the very body and blood of your Lord Jesus, which he graciously gives to you. And you have the certain knowledge that you have peace because all of your sins are forgiven. Wills are important, aren't they? Wills are important because you need to make sure that your estate is passed from one person to the next. But Jesus this evening gives you something that's far more valuable than anything the world could possibly offer. He gives you his will. Himself. He gives you his body and blood. Why? For the forgiveness of all of your sins. And you can know with 100% certainty that when we leave our earthly wills here someday, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper with him in heaven. Thanks be to God that he gives us this saving meal. Amen.